Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Which our brother read, verse 1, tells us who this is written to. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud," and so forth. He writes to the brethren, or those who profess faith in Christ. Back in the first chapter, says to the church, to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints with all in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So this is written to and directed to professing believers. Paul did not know who they were, but gave them the benefit of the doubt. God does. Down in verse 14, he says, "My dearly beloved," wherefore, "my dearly beloved brethren," fellow believers, or seemingly fellow believers. And I wish that I could preach this in the manner that Paul must have written it. With great heaviness, he says, "I have great heaviness," over in Romans 9. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel and my brethren is that they might be saved." Some of these people, like the Jews, missed Christ. And we would be greatly ignorant if we thought that won't happen to some of us. And so this is to this church, okay? No one else. No one else. I told someone one time that we would all do well to read this first part of 1 Corinthians 10 once a month. Once a month. He says in verse 11, these things that happened to them, he's just going to rehearse or bring to remembrance the Israelites, what all they went through, what all they saw and what all they heard, and then many of them missed Christ. So he says these things, verse 11, happened unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This is the end of the world. It really is. The Scripture is very clear about that. The Spirit speaketh expressly, very clearly, in the latter days, and so on. These are the last of the last days. It's very, very clear. To us, anyway, to those that understand. And these things are written for our admonition. Now, an admonition means a warning. And if you have children, how often do you warn them? If you did not love them, you wouldn't warn them, right? You're constantly warning them to the point that they think you warn them too much. No. But God's Scripture, we've heard this before, that God's Scriptures are full of warnings. Verse 12 says, "Let him," therefore, these things are written, "let him that thinketh he standeth." I think I stand, don't you? I think I'm a believer. I think I am. I think I'm a believer, don't you? "Take heed." To what? This. This admonition, lest he fall, as many of them did. And we need these warnings, we need these reminders, don't we? Like children quickly forget, don't they? Children quickly forget. And we come in here Sunday after Wednesday, Sunday after Wednesday, to hear basically the same things, don't we? To be reminded. I hope until the day I die, the Lord will keep reminding me. Don't you? Because if I forget, it's hopeless then. Many of them, verse 5, look at this, with many of them, our Lord, I quoted it earlier, many that go the broad road, many. And it says in verse 5, they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now here's something we need to understand right away. That the wilderness they went through, they were passing through. They were passing through. Where were they headed? They were headed to a place that God had promised them, who could not lie. Land that floweth with milk and honey. They were passing through it. That wasn't going to be, that wilderness was not going to be their permanent dwelling place. They stayed in several places for a length of time, but that's not their home. They looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, that hath foundation. And but the wilderness, we need to understand that the wilderness they passed through wasn't all a desert. When you think of the wilderness, you think they're passing through the desert. They didn't walk through the desert the whole time. But part of the wilderness was cities and towns full of Vanity Fair. John Bunyan wrote about Vanity Fair, didn't he? Places they wanted to stop and settle. People they wanted to stay with. Women they wanted to marry. Men they wanted to marry. The wilderness wasn't always a desert. So wilderness means a place you're passing through. It does mean barren. Well, a city can be just as barren as a desert, can't it? Barren of the truth, the gospel. Barren of God's people. Huh? So that's the first thing we need to learn. And, you know, this is all a reminder. This story happened way back in the beginning. And this is a reminder, an admonition, a reminder. Someone once said, he who does not study history will repeat it. In other words, we need to learn. We need to learn. Take heed. Constant reminder. He says in verse 1, be not ignorant, brethren, be not ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Be not ignorant. What is the root word of ignorant? Ignore. Ignore. That means pay no attention. And we're like that. We're human, aren't we? We hear something. We keep hearing it until finally it's just a noise, and we ignore it. Like a train passing by the house. First it gets your attention. After a while you keep hearing it, and then you ignore it. Don't do that. Become dull of hearing. That's what that meant. The world reads this same Bible that we read. Well, they've made quite a few versions of it, haven't they? That don't resemble it. But many still read this same basic Bible that we read, but choose to ignore it. Don't be ignorant, brethren. Don't ignore it. These reproofs are meant to reprove. These rebukes are meant to rebuke. We don't like rebukes, do we? A wise man will receive one, and he'll learn from it. We don't like chastening, do we? Oh, it's not pleasant. Not at all. But whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. We don't like this. Don't ignore. Don't. Conviction. We said this one time. If God's Word convicts us, good. Good. If we feel guilt from hearing God's Word, good. That's so good. Maybe we're listening. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Verse 2. He said in verse 1 and 2, they were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now go back with me to this story. Exodus, book of Exodus. Go back there. Chapter 12. When I read this, I wanted to deal with the first 14 verses. But I began to go back and read. And these are the stories, people, of the cloud passing through the Red Sea, the cloud that went before them, behind them, the smitten rock, the manna. And I thought, well, I just can't just deal briefly with those. And I hope we're glad that we don't. But we're going to look at a couple of things together, two or three messages. I hope you'll be glad we did. But back in Exodus chapter 12, this is the story of the children of Israel. Israel is Jacob, sons of Jacob. Who were they? Who were the children of Israel? They were God's elect, God's chosen people. They called themselves God's elect. They believed a sovereign electing God, didn't they? They believed we're God's chosen elect people, not the world, us. God's elect. Who were the children of Israel? They were called. They heard God's word through a prophet. I mean a true prophet. Not a false one. A true prophet. They heard the truth through Moses. The greatest of all. Didn't they? Oh, what a blessed people. Huh? They heard of the true and living God. Not an idol. That the rest of the world, you know, didn't hear of this God. They did. The living and true God. Yes, they did. They saw clearly the hand of God, the judgments of God upon that land they were living, Egypt. They saw it clearly. Does it always amaze you how that the Egyptians could not see those plagues being from God? They couldn't see it, could they? Flies, locusts, darkness, thick darkness, hail, fire. Huh? They couldn't see it. What does Romans 1 say? It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Clearly saying, the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. God's hand of judgment has been upon this world and the inhabitants thereof from the beginning. Clearly seen. Even a modern talk show host recently made this comment. He said, with floods and hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and famines and diseases and all of this on the increase such as never before, he said, should we take God's name out of the Pledge of Allegiance and out of these things? Maybe we should not. Maybe we should call on God. Maybe, no maybe about it. Clearly revealed the judgments of God. These things are the judgments of God. The wrath of God. Well, they saw this. Look down at verse in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. God promised this, that at midnight He would pass through the death angel. The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh. The king in the land was not immune to this. That sat on the throne under the firstborn of the captive, slave in the dungeon, a prisoner. And all the cattle, even their cattle died. Read on. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt. Why? There was not one house where there was not one dead. Not one house. And even today, there's not one house in all this world. There's not one dead. Death. That's the great eye-opener. It should be, should it? Death. Something that the whole world seeks to ignore. Their secret thought is that they shall continue forever, Scripture said. The whole world wants to ignore it. Something we'd rather not talk about. You'll notice we travel by the funeral home daily. and witness people going to a visitation or funeral. And it's obvious they're not talking about death out there in the parking lot. They're not talking about what happened here. Where is this person? What happens after we die and so forth? What's the truth? How is a man going to approach a holy... They're not talking about that. But death is something that cannot be ignored, is it? Something that we cannot avoid. And we all, everyone in here, there's not a house in here that hadn't been affected by death, is there? And buddy, when it happens, we all get real serious. And we all, like Israel, everyone in here, Israel, in this same chapter, the Lord said, I will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord said, death is coming upon all, but God, I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I've chosen you, I'm revealing to you how that I will pass by, my wrath will not come upon you and on your children. Here's how: the blood of a lamb. I'm revealing to you very clearly that it's the blood that maketh atonement. You're guilty. You're no better than these Egyptians. I should be angry with you, but I'm not. And here's how you know. I've got a substitute. My own Son, whom I will send into this earth, the innocent for you, the guilty. He's going to take your place. I'm going to pour my wrath out upon Him. I'm going to put your sin upon Him and give you His righteousness. The substitute. That's my Lamb. The Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. Not only just Jews, but of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. I'm a merciful and gracious, loving God. My love, though, is in Christ, my Son. My love is in your substitute. And whatever house I find under the blood, I will pass over you. I'm not angry with you. Have your children there. It's not cruel, it's mercy. Be there. Remember, I should be angry. But I'm merciful. And it's the blood. Keep coming back. This do in remembrance of me. Oh my. A lamb. Haven't we all heard that? How could it ever be a drudgery to come hear about God's mercy? Well, we do. We all do. It says they were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Chapter 13 here in Exodus is the story of this cloud. Wonderful, wonderful story. Look at the last two verses of chapter 13. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Verse 22, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day. As long as the sun was shining, there was a cloud. And it says He led them, verse 21, to lead them the way. What do you suppose that cloud was? They were all under it. Are you with me? They were all under it. You're hearing it right now. The cloud is over this building. This cloud is Jesus Christ Himself. The hope of salvation, the gospel that leads us the way, the truth, the life. Says the Lord was in the cloud. He Himself was in the cloud. This cloud was God's presence. God with them. This cloud, you could have named this cloud Emmanuel. Couldn't you? God with us, leading them, guiding them. We're all under it. Huh? The cloud is His presence, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, leading, guiding, protecting. Look at chapter 14. Oh, this is wonderful. This cloud, it says He took it not away. As long as it was daylight. Brother Ron, as long as Christ is
living, His gospel is going to be preached.
There's hope. There's a blessed cloud of mercy and grace and hope and protection and providence and leadership and guidance and clouds.
It won't rain unless you have a cloud.
You can't have rain without clouds. Cloud is always the promise of showers of blessing. Right? As long as this gospel of Christ is being preached, there's promise of a blessing. Don't you want to be under the cloud? We've been under it a good while. All of us. Cloud.
Oh, fear not, ye saints. Fresh courage take. The clouds ye often dread are filled with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head.
Oh, it's a dark cloud. No, it's not. No, not if it's of the Lord. You'll see. There's light in that cloud.
Look at chapter 14, verse 19. It says, the angel of God went before the camp of Israel. That's Holy Spirit. He removed and went behind them. This pillar of cloud went before them and behind them. This pillar, this cloud. In other words, by the stand, it was surrounded them. Hedged about. Over them, around them, before them, behind them. They were under the protection of the leadership, the guidance of this cloud. We believe God is God, don't we? Why would anybody have any other God? Why would anybody believe in a God that doesn't want things to happen, yet they do? God who can't do anything about it, yet they do? A God who's a bystander in the affairs of men? God who loves you so much, and yet He can't do anything because you won't let Him? He's standing, I wish that hadn't happened. Why would you have a God like that? Who wants a God like that? That's not God at all. Hear, O Israel, thy God reigneth. Reigneth. The God in whose hands your breath is. The God who's numbered all the hairs of your head. The God who said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it, I'll do it. Known unto God are all His work. Purposed before the world began. Now that's God. There's comfort. There's hope. Set behind and before. Job. Satan hath desired you, Job. He can't touch you, Job. Even Satan knew it. He said you've hedged him about. That's right. All his people are hedged about because he's God. Aren't you glad? I kill. I make alive. I wound. I heal. I raise up. I cast out. I'm God. Beside me, there is none else. I'm thy God. Yes, this God is my God. Aren't you glad? Set behind and before. Aren't you glad? The cloud of His presence, the Lord Himself. Well, look at verse 20. It says, it came between the camp of the Egyptian and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to Egypt that gave light by night to thee. It was darkness to Egypt, but light to God's people. Isn't that wonderful? It says it separated them. This cloud came between them. Children of Israel, it separated them from the Egyptians. It made the difference. They weren't necessarily different in themselves, were they? They were all sinners. But who separated them? Who made the difference? This cloud. The Lord. The Lord with us. The Lord with them. Separated them. The world believed in these idols and all that. They believed in the living and true God. Why? Because He revealed Himself to them. And this cloud was between them, separated them. So it is now. Who we believe. We worship a different God than most people do. It's just the way it is, isn't it? But when we say salvation's of the Lord, that's exactly what we believe. I mean, we believe 100%. From the choosing to the final consummation of it. It's of the Lord, 100%, and it's by grace. 100% a gift, without works. Without work. We believe that, by grace. Well, the world then and the world now is in the dark about God. You know that? They're in the dark about His character. They're in the dark about His character. They think God has one attribute, love. They think that's it. They're in the dark about His ways. They really don't believe that God has anything to do with most things that happen in the world today. They don't. They're ignorant about His way. Ignorant, certainly, about His purpose. They don't think God has a purpose. We're not in the dark, are we? Even as others. You know, the issues are cloudy. The issues are cloudy to this world, aren't they? Not cloudy to us, is it, Brother Stan? Here's the issue. What think ye of Christ? Who is that? Here's the issue, and it's not cloudy. It's crystal clear. It's all plain to him that understands it. Who is that man that walked this earth 2,000 a year? Who is that? Is he just a man? If he is, he can't save anybody. Well, is he God? If he is, then he came for a purpose. If he's God, then he did what he came to do. What did he do on Calvary's tree? Well, he put away, he died for the sins. Did he do it? Did he actually pay the price, the penalty? Did he actually redeem, pay for their sin? Did he? Yes, he did. The issue's not cloudy, is it? What think you of Christ? Who is he? Why did he come? What did he do? Where is he now? That's the issue, isn't it? If he's just a man, he couldn't save anybody. If he's God manifest in the flesh, the God-man came with a purpose, hung on that cross and said, I finished it, sat down at the right hand, went back to heaven, rose from the grave, only man ever, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, God's well pleased, then he did it, didn't he? Then there's sure salvation for all his people. Whoever he did that for, it's certain. Their sins are gone. Issue's not cloudy, is it? Crystal clear. Crystal clear. In Christ. What think ye of Christ? That's it. Cloud. Oh my. What think ye of Christ? Cloud is Christ, and as it separated the world from his people, Christ said of his people, here's what he said. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but keep them from it. Christ is the one who separates his people and takes them, the world out of them, and someday will take them out of the world. I know. All under the cloud. We're so blessed, aren't we? Oh, my. This preacher and the preachers who stand in my place do not stand up here and give little moral sermonettes about civil issues and social issues and so forth. Trying to get singles together to marry one another and so forth, and build gymnasiums and have all. They don't. There's a pressing issue that we know this true God and His true Christ. And every time we stand up, this is the message, isn't it? Every time. All under the cloud. Verse back in our text. Well, yeah. Go back to the text. In 1 Corinthians 10, about didn't leave enough time for this. You see how that we need to take each of these. It says they all went past, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all passed through the sea. And all baptized unto Moses. in the cloud and in the sea. Who was Moses? Moses was their leader. Moses was the man God raised up to be their Savior, to lead them out. Moses was the mediator between God and them. Moses was the go-between. Moses is the one whom God held up His hands and spared Israel. Moses was God's Savior for these people. Just a man, though. He didn't really save anybody's soul. But Moses represents Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Moses represents that prophet who came and told us all things, Jesus Christ, of whom Moses wrote, of whom all the prophets gave witness. Jesus Christ, that prophet, the daysman, the mediator, the intercessor, the Savior of God's people, His chosen, Moses, to lead them out. God said, I am come down to bring them out, to take them up. God was in Christ. He said, I came down to bring them out, to take them up. That's Christ, our Moses. And it says they were baptized. They all passed through the sea and are baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What is this sea? Well, the sea is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a thing that still today is unfathomable. Now, say, how is that trouble with that word? You try it. Unfathomable, meaning it's so deep and so mysterious, it's still uncharted. There are uncharted places, unseen, unknown, mysterious, deep, dark, yes, mysterious, full of life, teeming with life, life more abundant. Huh? It's a place that's full of life, yet it's a dangerous thing, isn't it? It's a deadly thing to see. Who could that represent? God. They all passed through the sea. And in Him, God, we all live and move and have our being. We're fellows in a ship. Passing through. All this deep, mysterious. This is God. Moses is Christ. See that? Moses led them through the sea. They were all baptized, John, into Moses in the sea. You're dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. How'd they get through this sea, this great gulf? They can't pass through this sea. It'd kill them. This sea that would be death to them. How are they going to pass over? Moses. How are we going to get to God? Christ. Would you go back quickly to Exodus 15 in closing? Go back there again. Should have had you hold your place. But Exodus 15, you'll love this. Exodus 15, Moses is the one that held back the sea. Moses is the one who kept the sea from falling in on them. Christ is our great mediator, our great daysman, and the one who stays God's wrath. Christ is the one who made the way. He is the way. He is the way. It says in the story, they all passed through that sea on dry ground. They all had to go through this sea. We all got to go to God. Live, move, and have our being in God. Go to God someday. But they all passed through on dry ground. Solid rock. Solid rock. In Christ, like that cloud, it's not cloudy to us, it's clear. And like Christ, that we go through, it not be in the muck and the mire, but on solid ground. Grounded and settled in a tree. Rock solid. And down in chapter 14 says, they all passed through the Red Sea, verse 22. Verse 21 and 22, Moses stretched out his hand. Christ is the hand of God. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were to them a wall unto them on the right hand and the left hand. What should have killed them didn't. it was their protection. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Well, why is God for us? In Christ. The love of God is in Christ. If you're with Christ, God's a wall to you. God's for you. God's your protector. God loves you. Smile. If you're in Christ, you're with Christ, smile. God loves you. You're going through. You're passing through. Well, look though at chapter 15 here. Chapter 15. Well, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 25, though, the Egyptians went after them. And God took off their chariot wheels. They got mired up, didn't they? My, the wheels start coming off. And this world, that's what's happening in it. The wheels are coming off. Wheels are coming off. But verse 27 and 28, they went through, the people went through, and it says, but the Egyptians were all killed. Verse 28, there wasn't one of them left. And old-fashioned as this message sounds, it's still true. The world is reserved unto fire for the day of perdition. You just don't hear anybody saying that anymore, do you? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message. But in Christ, there's salvation. In Christ. Well, tragically though, all of them, they were all there. They were all under the cloud. They all went through the sea. But it says with many of them, God was not with them. Why? What happened? They were overthrown in the wilderness. They forgot they were passing through. Here's the reason the story was written, reminded. They forgot they were passing through. They took a liking to where they were and forgot God. Forgot His mercy. Forgot His providence. Forgot all that. Forgot it all. Forgot it all. In favor of the wilderness. Man. Bad trade. And they perished in the wilderness. Overthrown. Who is he that overcometh this world? Do you believe the things that we've looked at this morning? I mean, really, with the heart, man, believe. Do you believe? I told you from God's Word the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Christ. Do you believe? This is that which overcometh the world. Christ said, I come. I'm coming. He came, He left, said, I'm coming again. Surely, I come quickly. It's coming quick. The time is short. And we're passing through, sojourning. Be not overcome. Be not overcome. Be not faithless, but believe it. Behold, your redemption draweth nigh. Joshua and Caleb, they found out. Old Caleb went in, he got a foretaste of glory divine. Caleb came back and said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey just like God said. Oh my, grapes big as watermelons. Oh, come and go with us. Huh? Be not overcome. Okay. Let's stand in closing and sing a hymn, number 517, is it, John, or 14? 517. John, come up. Please, and lead us. 517. I love this hymn. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. Children of Israel with Joshua passed over Jordan, didn't they? That's another story. And on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. Oh, I'd like to be over there. To Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Let's stand and sing it. 517. On Jordan's stormy cast a wistful eye. Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land.
Sing the second as the last.
All o'er those wide hills.